Hey, kids, are you looking for an exciting career in the world of broadcasting?
Uh-huh.
But afraid you don't have the skills or talent to make it?
Uh-uh.
Well, now you don't need either. At the Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting, we'll show you that going on the air is just as easy as breathing air. Just listen to what our founder has to say.
Because I don't hang out with the one with the what's her nuts.
And if you act right now, you'll also learn sound effects. And impressions.
Andy!
So what are you waiting for? Join us today and your broadcasting career will be over tomorrow. The Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting. Not associated with any real broadcasting school.
That is genuinely the funniest thing.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It's episode number 64, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 26th of March, 2008.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A guy walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "Give me 6 double vodkas." The bartender says, "Well, you must have had one hell of a day." The guy says, "Yeah, I just found out that my older brother is gay." The next day, the same guy walks into the bar and places the same order. When the bartender asks what the problem is this time, the answer comes back, "I just found out that my younger brother is gay, too." On the third day, the guy walks into the bar and orders another 6 double vodkas. The bartender says, "Hey, doesn't anybody in your family like women?" "Yeah," says the guy, "my wife."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easter, my friends. Son of Easter, and welcome! You've managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It's our 64th episode being recorded on Wednesday, is the 26th of March, 2008. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And I'm thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here for the next 2 hours. We're going to have a great, great show. We have, we got the gang of regulars. We're going to be visiting on the phone today with John DeCoven. Hopefully we'll be able to get him and our good friend Sean Meehan is not going to be in the studio today, but we'll have him on the phone. And, of course, the rest of us will be floating around here. We got, there's lots of stuff in the news we got to talk about, lots of politics. I hope the show doesn't become a political show over the next sort of 6 months until the election, because politics is interesting, but it can get repetitious. But there's every week there's something, at least one thing that happens that raises my ire, and this week there's a couple. So we'll talk a little bit about politics, lots of current events, pop culture, movies. I got a chance to get caught up on a lot of movies on my TiVo and Netflix queue this weekend. Most of them were mediocre, some of them sucked hard, and a couple of them were actually pretty good. And we got some new music today. There are some new albums that have been dropping by groups that I'm a big fan of. We got a new Counting Crows album, and we're going to play some music from them. We got a new REM album, we'll be playing some new music from them. Maybe get around to some more tunes from the Presidents of the United States of America, Real Big Fish, and other sordid and sundry nonsense. But before we go too much further, let's punch down a couple of buttons here and say Son of Easter and welcome to our good friend, Mr. Parviz Vitali. Son of Easter, my friend.
Son of Easter, Robin.
How are you?
Very good.
I want to apologize to you for making you stay an extra half hour after school last week and clap my erasers. And for no apparent reason, I do apologize.
No problem.
Because I know that it was an imposition. You have a wife and a life and places to go, people to see, and things to
shoot.
And you were.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry. It didn't get recorded.
I am too.
It was nice.
I'm sorry it didn't get recorded as well. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Before we go much further, I also want to say, Son of Vista, and welcome to Sherry Stevens. Son of Vista. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I want to apologize to you last week for having to sit next to Parviz for the entire... No, that's not true.
She was coughing the whole time I was clapping erasers. Yeah.
Did you clap erasers when you were in Ever?
I love
to do that. I was
really?
Yeah. That was a treat somehow, doing work for the teacher. Well, now you know why I got the shit kicked out of
right.
me. A lot. I guess. That seemed like a cool thing to do. I guess, you know, do they have erasers in school anymore?
Well, they have whiteboards,
yeah,
so they
whiteboards.
Have erasers.
Is that what they have now? They have
sure.
whiteboards. They don't
yeah.
use chalk anymore?
No. In fact, they're really nice. I went to my sister's kindergarten class.
Yeah?
And it's... Not only do they have whiteboards, but the whiteboards move in their shelves behind them.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of storage.
They're place doing... to hide the drugs.
Yeah.
Excellent. Don't know what that means.
Drugs and cupcakes.
Yes. So, I didn't have a chance to re-record the Arthur C. Clarke thing. I made a little thing at the end of the show last week, and I actually found a recording of Arthur C. Clarke reading the 9 billion names of God, and I was going to put it on the web, and I actually thought my version was better.
Yes.
So I'm thinking we'll have to figure out a way to record it again. But anyhow, let's jump right into the show here with our regulars. We got Mr. Kip Adana, Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
We got Dick Cheney, Harry Whittington.
Nonsense babber.
We got Whitney. Kenneth.
Home networking.
We got Samuel L. Jackson.
America's chickens! Coming home! To roost.
And Allie. And whoever this is.
Stop laughing.
Oh, yeah, Jerry That's Seinfeld. Fun. And.
When is a good fairy going
yeah,
to.
And of course.
Take off my penis.
All
I'm
right.
Brian Cox.
Thank you very much. We actually got an email about this.
Nonsense babber. Who is that?
That's you.
Oh. I had no idea.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that is.
No more calls. We have a winner. Holy crap.
Play that again.
Really? You had no idea?
I had no idea.
Oh, God.
Nonsense babber. Do I stutter? Is that a stutter?
You did that. You did that time.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Or did you edit it that way?
Nonsense babber. I swear to God, I didn't. In fact, it took. I was going to actually make it shorter by removing the stutter because I thought it kind of runs too long. Most of the sound clips are only a second, right there.
Yeah.
Or you know, or this one.
Home networking.
Right, but this one is actually like
nonsense babber. Oh, I cracked myself up.
No.
Nonsense babber.
No.
Nonsense babber.
I think we've lost Parviz.
That's funny.
You think?
Now that I know who it is, it cracks me up. Just the stuttery kind of surprises me. I was like, I stutter? Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff. I think we should end the show right there.
We got an email from, who was it? Oh, I think Kath, who's in Australia, New Zealand, someplace where it's getting to be winter now. I don't remember offhand, but she's a regular listener of Schnauzer Logic, and she corresponds. Thanks very much for listening. Obviously, we appreciate it very, very much. And I should know where she's from. I think Australia. I think she's from Australia. I just want to get that right, because I know that the Australians and the New Zealanders, the Kiwis and the... And what
koalas.
Is that it? The Kiwis and the koalas?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a hockey team.
I wouldn't argue with you.
Australian hockey.
Australian rules hockey. But she said that she was listening to the show and you did that and she laughed so hard that I guess she like woke her husband up. She was listening to the podcast and she was, you know, had insomnia and like he threw her out of the room. So well done, my boy. Well done.
Well, that's funny. Because I think you said Harry Whittington. You kept going. I just wasn't paying attention. I did sound different, but I thought, oh, okay, I don't know what Harry said. Oh, that's funny.
But you were the one who called that the Reverend Wright sounds like Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, and that
so
was good.
I had to go find the chickens.
Roost.
America's chickens are coming home to roost. He's great.
He's good. And did you hear his replacement this week?
No.
Was just as bad. Talking about lynching and the black man's getting lynched again because
really?
We're attacking Reverend Wright. And It's just that's a
the
wacky
conclusion
church.
That I've come to. Well, the conclusion that I've come to is that I don't think I have a cultural frame of reference to understand what happens in that environment. And so when I listen to these things, I try to analyze it from my own life experience as a, you know, middle-class white person, you know, growing up in the East Coast and then living my life now on the West Coast, you know, major metropolitan areas as opposed to rural areas. And I don't think I have any, I don't have any frame of reference. I don't have any sense of what this means because when I listen to people talk about it, there's a lot of head nodding, which is, yeah, this is a common theme for people of that community, and they understand this, and they have a way of discounting it. You know, it's like, yeah, this is how some of the older folks talk, et cetera, and it's just like, I guess I just have nothing to, I can't bring anything to offer on the discussion at this particular time. But I understand why. I mean, if I were in that church, I mean, I went with Misha. Our good friend Misha was born again and was attending an evangelical Baptist church in Salinas, I think. And she invited me to come with her for, was it Easter services or just a Sunday service? It was some service. And so I went with her. I'd never been to an evangelical church before. I had been to a Catholic Mass. I'd actually been to a high Mass at the major Catholic church in Baltimore, Maryland. So, you know, big deal kind of Mass. And so, I mean, I've been to, you know, Protestant and Methodist and Unitarian, all kinds of things. But I don't think I'd actually been to an evangelical kind of Baptist thing. And so I went there and I was fixated by the preacher, who was just, you know, this kind of rollicking thing, and he was talking about, you know, King Jehoshaphat, and it's like, do it again, God, do it again, you know, and it's like, oh my God, and those old Jews were all rallying around saying, do it again, God, do it again, and I thought, I wish I believed, because it would, I wish I believed, because it would give me some place to go every Sunday, and I'd feel really energized, so I think from a cultural point of view, I mean, the same reason that I'm going to go to a Passover second night Seder in a, I don't know, about a month, I've been going almost every year since I moved out here. I mean, I am Jewish by birth and I was, you know, bar mitzvahed and all of those other things, but I don't go to services. I don't believe in the teaching. I mean, I don't believe the stories of the Bible. I think that there are some lessons that are valuable, but most of the prescriptions don't have any resonance with me, but I go because of community, right? It's an important thing to go and be part of the wandering Jews of the Silicon Valley. And so that's why I go. It's a sense of belonging. And I think for the same reason, even if I didn't believe what the preacher was saying, if I felt that sense of power and connectedness, well, hell yeah, I would go. Do you go to...
Yeah, actually, I went to Easter service on Saturday.
So how was that?
It was 3 hours long.
Oh my gosh!
What kind of service was it?
It was a Catholic service.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, and there was baptisms and confirmations going on and stuff like that.
Wow!
And it was, you know, listen, I believe it's a show. It's entertainment. You know, it's the priest has to be entertaining to keep your attention for 3 hours. This particular one wasn't, but it has to be. So. It's
need a better opening act
or you know, take off the robe, do something, you know, get a stripping pole in there, something. but you know, it's I think I heard that 17%, I believe this is true, 15 or 17% of high schoolers do not believe in God. And it's a different time.
That number seems small, actually, to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I think back in the maybe the 70s and 60s, I think a greater majority did believe in God. And
unusual to be atheist.
But we're just talking about high schoolers. We're talking about high schoolers who, and it's probably even higher. I would imagine it's a little higher. That it's just we live in a time right now where there's no real family unity where they go to church every Sunday. If you go to church today, people walking with shorts and Hawaiian shirts, it's just odd. It just doesn't appeal, I think, to the kids. It's boring and it's takes a long time. It's not very appealing. I don't know, and I don't think there's a strong unity in the family to make people go to church. I think back in the days in the 60s, that's what it all was about. You know, you dressed up and you went to church every Sunday and you...
So did you go because you wanted to or that you felt like you were supposed to?
This last weekend?
Yeah.
No, I went because I was supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing?
It was fine. It was nice. I mean
to do anything because you're supposed to. I mean, does that?
No, it didn't break my back. I wasn't like dreading it like that.
No,
I mean, generally, you don't want to be told what to do or to be forced to do anything. But this particular time, I wasn't dreading
it. If you never went to church again in your entire life,
No, I wouldn't feel right about that.
It was a question, though.
Oh.
If you never went to...
Oh, I cut you
off.
I'm
sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was nonchalant babbering there for a moment. I apologize.
What I
started to say was, if you never went to church, for whatever reason, you decided, you know, there is no God, or, you know, people have tragedies in their...
I tell you, I did go through a period in my life about that, not believing that there was a God, because a lot of things were happening... That I thought, God, if there was a God.
All right, let's talk about that. So that period of your life where you effectively lost faith.
Yes,
you lost your faith. Did you feel at that point, well, I've lost my faith, so now I can start stealing from people. Now I can start killing. I can start setting fires. You know, rape is okay. I mean, did the Ten
Commandments suddenly go away?
Yeah. Other than the fact that you lost your faith, did it change the way that you reacted to the rest of the world?
Well, it's funny because during the OJ trial, during stuff like that, I started thinking like, you know, this guy, if he did it, there better be repercussions because this guy's getting off on murdering two people. And I thought, you know what? There better be a God. And then I started thinking like, God, there just better be a God. We've never seen him. Nobody's come back from the dead saying, there's a God. Don't worry, everything. It's like, it's almost like Santa Claus. It's like, there better be a Santa Claus. Who the heck's putting all the gifts under the tree?
Well, do you want to tell him? Or?
I'm not going to go there.
All right. God is putting the presents under the tree.
All right. So that's what he's been doing the whole
Jesus.
Year. No, but it's
out on his sleigh.
It's just some weird personal stuff in my life.
Hat on.
Some weird personal stuff in my life. I don't want to get into. But I started to think like, wow, there better be. I don't know if this person believes. This person who wants me to believe in God, I don't think believes in God. And so I started doubting it.
But my point, you're addressing my point precisely, which is if you knew for a fact that there was no God, right? And
correct.
That OJ would never get his comeuppance. He would manage
correct.
To go through this life and be able to do whatever the hell it was that he did and get away with it. And there's never any kind of justice, whether it's karmic justice
correct.
Or a Christian God or whatever that is.
I would continue masturbating.
Well, that's my... Well, I mean, would you then think like, well, shit, then I can kill someone?
No, because...
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, that's my point. I it almost doesn't matter what the because... I mean, I want to hear the because, but my point is, it isn't the fear...
No, because I don't think the kids even of today who believe whether there is or isn't a God, I think there's a majority of kids that have some sense to not kill. And I think the ones that do kill or the ones that do steal have an addiction possibly to a drug... That alters their mind to a point where they're stealing and killing, and or they get had a wacky girlfriend or something. But I don't know. I think the people that do that, even if they believe in God or that I found God in jail, it's almost like it doesn't hold them back from doing all the bad things. Because I think at that moment, something enraged them to the point of...
And not believing in God doesn't make you do bad things.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So we're in violent agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. And what brought you back? You were on the brink. You were the prodigal son. You had finally returned home. What was it that brought you back? Did you smell a burning bush?
No. I just... Honestly, can I be honest with you?
How would I know?
I don't know if I'm fully back.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
I think I have to have like a life experience where I almost die, and you know, like my car gets stuck on the train tracks, and somebody pulls me from the car, and the car gets demolished because the Amtrak came, and you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you're an angel, and you saved me, and there's a God.
Yeah, that's not God, that's Superman. Or maybe Underdog. Or
Colonel Clink.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Again. I like your view of the world.
Yeah, yeah, I'm
like
sure you do.
I like your view of the world, yeah.
Schultz.
Again. Off the tracks.
Or it could be that other guy. What's his name? George Burns.
Yeah, it could be George Burns.
Right. Didn't he play O God?
The real God.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Didn't Greg Kinnear do a crappy job of playing O God?
An old Jew with a cigar.
All right.
All right. Well, but I mean, there must have been a time in your life when you didn't believe or...
I don't.
Okay, you don't. You're an atheist.
I think I'm probably more of an agnostic. I'm not so foolish as to say that I know.
Correct. Correct.
Right? But I'm pretty sure that I know that it isn't a guy sitting in a chair someplace. That doesn't make any sense
to
me. Right?
Yeah.
He would have a segue, at the very least. He'd be like, you know, puttering around. No, I don't believe that. I think we anthropomorphize our notion of...
We have to keep the world civil.
Well, I don't... I mean, I guess I disagree. I don't think we have to. Hopefully, we'll be able to evolve beyond that.
Don't you agree that all the wars that have ever happened on this planet have happened because of religion?
Except for the Burger Wars. That whole thing.
And the Cola War.
Yeah. That whole thing with Wendy's, and the whole Angus and the Jack in the Box.
Yeah. The Big Mac and the McLean.
That makes me crazy.
I don't think the McLean ever really took off.
But other than that?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so people believe what they want to believe, and then they go, my God is better than your God. And I think there's a show on TV nowadays called that, right? My God's better than your God?
I have no idea.
Yeah. So anyways.
Wink if you're trying to do a bit.
No, okay. I'm not trying to do
if
a bit.
If you're doing a bit, just like do a winky thing. Okay. Great.
That's a good idea.
I'm so creeped out now. That's so creeped out.
Because I gave you the double wink?
I couldn't tell if you're trying to tell me it's a bit or you're having a stroke. I can't tell.
Playback that sound bite. It sounds like a stroke.
That does sound like a stroke. Not so much babber. Okay, somebody call 911.
Earlier you said that you were hoping the show or whatever doesn't become political or whatever. I actually believe that the politics nowadays is very similar to what happened in 92 with Bill Clinton and George Bush, the senior. It's like the kids and everybody's really getting into it. And I think the younger kids are really getting into this election as well. So I don't think it's boring and I don't think it's not important to talk about.
All right.
Because I do believe the last two elections
have been rigged.
Well, rigged or whatever, but people have... It's just not interesting. This is kind of interesting. The whole Clinton stuff, the Obama, and McCain's just not even part of it, you know? It's all about
he
Clinton.
He is part of it. It's scary.
Part of it,
he's kicking
scary.
Back. He's kicking back. He is.
He's scary
I'll
old
let you
grandpa.
You guys cut your own throats.
Somebody last week said that he had a senior moment. Was it Arlen Specter or someone on the Republican said that because McCain kept misreferring to the Iranians as being the assisting the Al-Qaeda, and of course one group is Sunni and one group is Shia and they hate each other, and so that would never happen. But he's like, well, you know, he misspoke. He was having a senior moment. It's like, that was funny when my mom used to say it. And she wasn't running for office.
Yeah.
And I'd rather see her president.
But didn't we give Reagan a bunch of crap when he was in the office for 8 years about making fun of his senior moments or making fun of him forgetting or making fun of him?
I think a lot of the problems we have with the economy now can be laid right at his feet.
Yeah.
All right. I think we need to bring Dr. Meehan into this conversation.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll take a break.
All right.
Play a little bit of tunage. Everybody here is drinking Diet Dr. Pepper today. Are we enjoying it?
Yes,
very much so.
All right, good. And that's not a plug. It's just a statement of fact. Well, we're going to take a break at this point and play some new music maybe from Counting Crows.
Awesome.
We'll do that. We'll play a little Counting Crows. Come back on the other side. Hopefully Dr. Meehan will be on the phone with us. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein. I never remember if I introduced the show. I guess I did. I must have said my name and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Inviting you all to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
You know I don't like
bodies on the ceiling and they're fluttering their wings. It's okay, I'm angry, but you'll never understand. We dream of Michelangelo, they hang above your hands. And I know she is not my friend. And I know, 'cause there she goes, walking on my skin again. And I can't see why you wanna talk to me when your vision of America is crystal and clean. I want a wide red light, something ignorant and plain. But from the walls of Michelangelo I'm dangling again. My friend, and I know, 'cause there she goes, walking on my skin again and again. Saturn on a line, a son of fire on strings and wires, spin above my head and make it right. But anytime you like, you can't catch a sight of angel eyes, all emptiness and infinite. And I dream of Michelangelo when I'm lying in my bed. I see God upon the ceiling, I see angels overhead. And he seems so close as he reaches out his hand. But we are never quite as close as we are led to understand. And I know she is not my friend. And I know, 'cause there she goes, walking, walking, walking. And I know she is not my friend. And I know, 'cause there she goes, walking on my skin again and again. Oh my, my. Oh Lord, no. Yes, yeah, she's walking on my skin again and again.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 27 minutes into the first hour of this 64. Will you still leave me? Will you still please me when I'm 64? Episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com. We're over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We're over on youtube.com/schnauzerlogic. I got a Facebook page. If you send me an email, we'll figure out how to get you onto my Facebook collection of folks and sorted stuff and nonsense. It's March 26th. Today is the 86th day of 2008. There's 280 days remaining. In 1934, the first driving test was introduced in the United Kingdom. In 1953, Jonas Salk announced his polio vaccine. And in 2003, Tony Evans of Swansea, Wales, dropped the world's largest rubber band ball out of an airplane over the Mojave Desert in Arizona to see if it would bounce. It didn't. The one-ton record-breaking ball took 20 seconds to drop a mile and stayed firmly rooted in the crater that it created in the desert. Evans had spent 5 years building the ball. Let's say welcome back to Sherry Stevens, Sona Vista.
Sona Vista.
And welcome back to Parviz Vitali, Sona Vista.
Sona Vista.
And let's punch down the button to see if our good friend Sean Meehan is here. I'm sorry I don't have any music for you, Dr. Meehan, but Sona Vista to you, too.
Sona Vista. Was that the new Counting Crows?
That was a little bit of new Counting Crows. Yeah, The Dream of Michelangelo, I believe, is that particular tune.
Very nice.
A little soulful, but not too bad.
Very nice.
How are you today? You're not able to join us here because you're coming over. You're getting over something.
I'm a little under the weather. I am indeed a little under the weather, but I am delighted to be here through the miracle of telecommunications.
You mean the phone, right?
that would be the miracle of which I speak.
Okay. All right, good. I wanted to dig into a little bit of politics, and
yay!
I'm very unhappy at the way the media is dealing with the whole Chelsea Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, Butler University thing. You know about this?
This is the question asked as to Chelsea, as to whether she lost some sort of faith in some aspect of her mother?
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit of background. I'm sure it's made its way around the world. It was on the AP like within minutes. It was at Butler University. Chelsea Clinton, as you know, is basically... going around the United States as a member of the Clinton campaign, and she's doing these college lecture tours at this point. She's almost 30 years old. I mean, she's no longer a kid.
She's just a child.
Well, in fact,
what does the media get off her?
In fact, she's probably close to 10 years older than the average age of the people that she's talking to at this point. Nevertheless, so she has these open, and the flip side of this is she refuses to talk to the media. She will not do interviews with the media. She will not allow cameras or things of that nature to be there. I mean, when they ever get her on camera, it's only by accident. She doesn't want there to be any photographic or audio record of any of these things. But she was taking questions at Butler University, which is in Indiana, and a fellow by the name of Evan Strange, he's a Butler University student who works in the school's newspaper, he asked her opinion of, quote, so this, I think this is important, the detail is really important here, he asked her opinion, quote, on the criticism of her mother that how she handled the Lewinsky scandal might be a sign of weakness and she might not be a strong enough candidate to be president. So he asked her in a really bad way. I mean, the fact that this guy's on the school newspaper speaks volumes, I suppose, about the quality of school newspapers today. But he didn't ask her opinion of Monica Lewinsky. There was actually a level of indirection here. He was effectively saying, I think inartfully, you know, do you think that the perception of how your mom handled Lewinsky is hurting her ability to be portrayed as a strong leader? And for those who haven't heard it, this is what Chelsea had to say.
Wow, you're the first person actually that's ever asked me that question. In the, I don't know, maybe 70 college campuses that I've now been to. And I do not think that's any of your business.
Yay! Yay!
Does that seem like a non sequitur to you? Am I the only one? Do I dislike Clinton so much that I'm looking?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. What's your take on this?
Well, I'll go first, just because no one leapt into the breach.
Yeah.
Chelsea seems to me to be enjoying an aura of untouchability that may be the residue of her time in the White House. You know, was it Rush Limbaugh who made the rather unflattering remark that Chelsea Clinton was the White House dog that I think drew an enormous amount of criticism at the time, as well it should. And this was, of course, back in the White House years. And I think that was sort of a wake-up call for the media that, just in general, this is not okay to touch Chelsea this way on the doll.
Show me where Rush Limbaugh touched you.
Right. You know, she... Anyway, it'll be torn from the headlines on next week's SVU. But I think that has... She's managed to maintain that aura that she's off limits and that whatever she has to say has to kind of remain unimpeachable. You know, it can't be examined. It certainly can't be cross-examined. Things can't be questioned. And quite frankly, if the media is going to give her that sweet deal, I think she should take it. You know, I guess if she is willing to go ahead and if the media are willing to give her that kind of a pass, I can't imagine why she shouldn't be exploiting it to her own advantage.
So, Sean, you think that she should have given the question a little bit more thought and consideration and truly answer it? I mean, is there, first
well,
of all,
I don't think the
is there a right answer to that question?
Sure. Because they... here's,
yeah, no. No, I don't think it
thank you.
Yeah, I don't think that it would affect her as a candidate.
I was going to go for more verbiage, but I get paid by the word, so...
I think there is a right answer to that question, and I think this did play out in a very public way, and I think, I guess what I just find kind of a little galling is that Chelsea Clinton has been used in the campaign thus far as a sort of secret, a not-so-secret secret weapon,
mm-hmm.
that she, you know, she calls superdelegates, she calls important figures in primary and caucus states. She clearly stumps, and we don't treat her like any other Clinton surrogate.
Well, we try to... Right.
Right.
I mean, poor, not Dan Abrams, but the other fellow on MSNBC that, again, inartfully tried to bring the conversation as to why she was off limits and that she was effectively being, you know, prostituted out on behalf of the campaign. Pimped out was the word that he used. And he had to be off. He was off the air for 2 weeks. And he had to eat crow. And I just I thought to myself, here's my take on this. If the fellow had said to her, how did it feel?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the normal media question. That's the normal bullshit, you know, Access Hollywood or any kind of, you know, eyewitness news. How did you feel? That's none of your business. How do you feel is none of your business. I think that actually is always none of anybody's business. And it's a really crappy interview question. How do you feel? But he didn't ask, how do you feel? He asked a very specific question, and her answer, it struck me. Now, this I may be completely off the wall, but it's hard to imagine that the Clinton campaign didn't anticipate that somewhere along the way, all three of them will be asked this question. I mean, that she'll be asked the question, and that Hillary will be asked the question, Chelsea will be asked the question, even maybe Bill would be asked the question. And they must have some kind of an answer. And if they don't, I mean, talk about a lack of preparation. Forget about who's going to answer the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Who's going to deal with the fact that you were not able to answer the phone at 3 in the morning because you were getting your willy whacked, you know? But it seemed to me, when you watch the video of this, that she was, that her response was sort of like a canned response that was misapplied.
Yeah.
She was trying to respond to a question that wasn't asked because the answer doesn't really match. The question is, what's your opinion of the criticism of your mother? And the answer is, it's none of your business. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you really just go in there, what's your opinion? It's none of your business. I guess I could say my opinion is my mom's an asshole. That's the opinion, and I didn't want to say that publicly. And the fact that everybody applauded was like, okay, she stood up for her what, huh? Something? I don't know. So I just, and yet today, all day long, it's been like people have been sort of like, she shouldn't have been asked that question. That's an inappropriate question. And I don't know. I mean,
I totally agree. I think the Clintons, everything they do and say, I truly believe it's calculated. They know what they're doing. They're not dumb. The crying that Hillary does, all these things are calculated to make them look better. And I bet that there has been probably, listen, it's none of your business is the answer to any Monica question.
Right.
And she probably heard a Monica question, heard the word Monica.
Bingo.
And said, none of your business, but didn't realize what the question was.
What did you do with Parviz? Who are you? And what did you do with the real Parviz?
The real Parviz is out there stuttering.
You know who I mean. I mean this guy.
Nonsense babber.
That guy. What did you do with that guy?
She was a trained dog. I think it's all calculated.
Also, what'd you do with this guy?
America's chickens
are delicious.
Well, oh, man.
I think that there is something. This has been a point, too, that I think has made me uncomfortable with Chelsea of late. And that is her remark. And I believe the quote is, I support my mother's recollection of the, you know, the terrifying...
Oh, the Bosnian trip?
The terrifying Bosnian trip. The
Sinbad trip.
Yes.
Sinbad was on that trip with them. Do you know that?
No, I did not know.
Do you know what's good? Do you know the story? Or?
Well, yeah. The story was that she claims that there was gunfire when she stepped off the plane. And then the photo they show is her with the little girl.
Yeah.
But she did this twice. She did this a couple weeks ago, and she did this back in December. She told the story twice.
Sinbad was on that trip with him.
Oh,
he was
that's
part
funny.
Of that whole, you know, going,
USO tour?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Sinbad was there. So they actually had to go to Sinbad for a comment.
Oh. He must have found him in his under a house sleeping. Poor guy's been doing nothing.
America's well. Chickens!
But you know what? The funny thing is, she claims now, she said in a press conference, oh, I forgot. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
I speak millions of words a day.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost like...
It's the law of large numbers. Some of them will be lies.
Are you kidding me?
Out and out lies. It is mathematically impossible.
You don't remember the day you squatted down because there was gunfire? I mean, how could you forget a day like that? Oh, I forgot. I made a mistake.
I like to remark, too, that dismissing Sinbad's critique of her recollection, she said, well, he's a comedian. And I thought, well, what other profession? He's a dentist. You know, you can't trust a damn word a dentist says. You know that.
And you know, maybe the kind of funny thing is, I think this generation probably doesn't know who Sinbad is.
Right.
So all the 20-year-olds are like, what, the guy from The Lamp?
No, he was a bad animation. Wasn't he a Harryhausen, Ray Harryhausen animation?
True. I think I had to tell people when they said that Sinbad's a comedian, I had to explain that he actually was. It's true.
Well, I
didn't hear about the Sinbad thing. That's funny, though.
Yeah. So,
but she supported that recollection rather than just artfully saying, you know, I don't actually recall that trip, or we took a lot of trips and whatever. But she came out and actively endorsed her mother's version of that, and I thought, ew, really? You know, did you both misrecollect? Are you both misspeaking? And it leads one to think that confabulation and prevarication are genetic.
It's true, and also a short fuse. She got real mean real quick with this person. You know, it's so clear that a sense of humor is such a powerful weapon in stressful situations, and certainly no situation more stressful than politics.
Oh, fuck you, Robin. Why are you always attacking her?
If she had said this instead,
nonsense babber,
she would have had the crowd eating out of her hand.
Hey, Sean, guess who that was?
Hey, Sean, Parviz didn't know that was him.
I actually said, Sean, what an idiot.
At the beginning of the show, we played that instead of one of the sound clips. He's like, who's that? And we both, Sherry and I, looked at each other. He's like, what?
Well, I am, frankly, I too am getting to the point with the Clintons and the Clinton campaign where I can't even tell any longer how much... I mean, I almost have to recuse myself because I've come to loathe them with a really extraordinary sort of zeal now. And this is something that has occurred. I mean, I was never a Clinton fan in this race. I was very, one time, I was very supportive of Hillary. She was considered, I think, to be the real liberal of the two Clintons, of the couple. And I thought, wow, she's going to get her Senate position. She certainly is going to be the most visible elected Democrat in the nation. And she could very well play a significant role in shaping legislation and policy from that position. And she's been an enormous disappointment. So my esteem for her has steadily declined since her election in 2000. And when she entered the race, I was already not at all enamored with her. But I didn't have this sense, this really sour sense, that this is just a naked power grab. And what I have now is that sense in my very pores. I feel like whenever I listen to her, I'm somehow dirtied by the experience.
Well, the tracking polls would seem to confirm that. She's been losing ground. I mean, she sort of picked up some speed after the last set of primary elections, obviously, and then the whole Jeremiah Wright thing. But the latest Wall Street Journal poll, which came out this afternoon, which was released from embargo this afternoon, shows that, you know, he's back on top again. And her negatives, she has a 38% favorable rating. I mean, you have to be
president. She could be president. Wow, that's pretty good.
All right. We're going to take a break and go look for Parviz, because I don't know what the hell happened. We got someone else in the studio today. He's scaring me a little bit. Can you hang around? Can you hang around, my friend?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a break and play some more tunage. So let's see. We'll put you on hold here. We'll take a break. REM? Little REM?
That's great.
Little REM. All right, we'll play a little REM. Come back on the other side. Listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Sean Meehan, and Parviz Vitali, all inviting you. Please stick around.
Around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Everybody here comes from somewhere that they would just as soon forget in disguise. At the summer camp where you volunteered, no one saw your face, no one saw your fear. If that apparition had just appeared, took you up and away from the space and sheer humiliation of your teenage station. Nobody cares, no one remembers, and nobody cares. And you cried and you cried. He's alive, he's alive.
State building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're 50 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. It's our 64th episode. It's being recorded on Wednesday. It's March the 26th, 2008. Robin Goldstein, your host, buddy, and pal, straightway Buddhist vegetarian, lesbian, fraternity boy, trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman, found attorney who starts with humor and a master degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. So today is March the 26th, 2008. Big birthday greetings today. Alan Arkin from Little Miss Sunshine. How old do you think?
Alan Arkin, probably 78.
74, not bad. Jimmy Caan.
James Caan, the original Godfather.
James Caan from The Godfather in Las Vegas. How old do you think?
James Caan is at least 75.
69.
Wow.
69.
And Misery. Also,
Misery. Very famous. Jennifer Grey, Dirty Dancing.
Oh, she's probably 50. 50 or 48.
48. Bing, 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 bing. Very good. Keira Knightley. This is going to be scary. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, she's 22.
23. Very good.
Oh, my gosh.
Very good.
I'm what they call a stalker.
Very good. You're like scary smart.
Yeah. Drop a bunch of toothpicks. I'll count them.
Somebody, my friend Jeff said it was. I won't do it. He said it's like exactly. Miracle Baby Jessica McClure.
22.
Well, you knew that because we talked about it before the show.
Yeah.
She was 2 years old when she fell down the well.
And that was 20 years ago. Have you seen a photo of her? Is she hot?
I haven't. Oh. I haven't. But I know that she gave rise to the whole concept of well baby.
Okay. Do we know if she still has a...
That was funny before the show when I made the joke up.
Now I can't make another joke.
Leonard Nimoy?
This timing is off. I'm going to go for it. Do we know if she still has the bandages on? All right. Come on, Sean. Nothing?
There's Parvee. She's back.
That's all right. I was just saving that. Saving that for when you slip.
Good afternoon, sports fan. Parvee Spitali here. We've got the Parvee Spitali Joke-a-thon. It's a miss. It's a joke.
All right.
What do we got? Nimoy? What is he, about 78, 79?
Yeah, 77. And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith?
55.
60. 60. There you go, baby.
Wow.
He's an old woman.
With a big mouth.
He's an old woman. So, let's see. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. What's of interest to you in the news these days? Doesn't have to be politics, my friend. What's going on there in your side of the hill?
I found a story which I thought was kind of interesting.
The whole Starbucks tipping thing.
No, I'm unaware of the Starbucks tipping thing.
Didn't you hear about you tip a bunch of Starbucks people and the managers are taking it to smoke weed?
Don't hijack his...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
This may be more interesting than... just keep that in mind.
Yeah,
keep
exactly.
that in mind, Parvee.
And,
don't
and
go
if,
anywhere.
If we have any problem, we can always play this.
HR Puff and Stuff. Push your button when things get rough. HR Puff and Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
We always have that ready. Just so that you know, if things
Thank
get
you.
Bad, we always have that ready, all right?
Keep your finger on the button.
I got my finger
on... We may have that 3 a.m. call here.
All right, there you go.
That's apparently, there was a transgendered man.
Oh, yeah.
He's legally male and legally married. He lives in Oregon, and he is claiming that he is pregnant. And he had some surgical modification, I think, but left the genitalia intact. And he is now apparently experiencing all kinds of discrimination from physicians and what have you, who don't want to deal with him. And I bring this up partially for its own merit, but I was reading the comments off this story, and they were incredibly hostile towards this gentleman. And I was kind of putting that together with what I heard the other day from that avatar of brilliance, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is the blonde on The View, which, for those of you who are outside this country, is sort of a coffee-clatch national morning show that has four or five different female regulars who kind of interview celebrities and talk about the news of the day and what have you. And she's the right wing, the young right wing upstart. And in response to the remark, an ill-conceived, we may have talked about it last week, an ill-conceived remark that Barack Obama made, where he described his grandmother as a typical white woman in some kind of sports radio interview, Hasselbeck said, boy, if genders were, or if races were turned and someone said that about a typical black person, oh, there would be all this upset. And he gets to skate on this. And Whoopi Goldberg, who was another regular on the show, said, look, it's not the same. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck said, I just want to know the rules. Would somebody please tell me the rules? And I thought that that, to me, was just an incredibly insightful statement. Not that by her particularly, but about a kind of mindset that I think we're stuck in America. What are the rules with this guy? What are the gender rules? What are the race rules? What are the rules? And it occurred to me for the first time, and it should have occurred to me long ago, I think there aren't any. That's why these problems are perplexing. That's why they're also interesting. That's part of the human experience, is coming to grips with the fact that there aren't a lot of rules. And there seem to be fewer rules as time goes on, as science and culture open up and deliver more and more possibilities. And I kind of thought maybe that sort of gets at some of the problems that we've been speaking to.
You're positing this lack of rules as a good thing?
I am positing the lack of rules is actually a good thing. The lack of rules makes our individual experiences more complicated, but for one thing, I think it better maps reality. There aren't a lot of rules in our universe. There aren't a lot of rules to human behavior. There are some. There are very few that seem immutable. But the complexity and the joy and the difficulty of living in the times we're living in are that we have this vast, all these different possibilities that we have to come to grips with, oftentimes on an individual basis, because the models that we would impose on them are not broad enough to really reflect what it is they are. You know, we can't make a simple model for society anymore. We can't make simple racial models.
And whose fault is that?
I'm not sure it's anybody's fault. I think this is just a complicated world.
I liked it better when it was simpler.
Well, so did lots of people. So did Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
It was much easier to understand when I was a little kid.
Yes. Yes, well, exactly.
Well, why can't the world be like that? We're not here for very long. I mean, we're only around for 70 or 80 years if we're lucky, right? So
yeah.
If we're only around for 70, 80 years, why do we have to waste any of our time thinking about these issues? It was just, let's just all agree that we're going to do things in a particular way, and people who don't want to agree, then they can just go someplace else.
Well, there you go. And I think we've just come up with the basic plank of the Republican platform. Let's all agree to these rules like poker or football or something like that. We'll even get rid of the instant replay. You know, it's just too confusing. It's too perplexing. It slows the game down.
I did see the story of the transgender man. I think Huffington Post ran it, and actually Drudge has been running it as well. He likes to run these sensational transgender stories. Whenever there is a transgender story, it always shows up on Drudge. I'm sort of fascinated by that kind of interest in that particular subculture, because there are so many subcultures in our society that one gets chosen every single time. But I guess it makes for a good visual. But there was a tremendous amount. I'll tell you where I am on this. I mean, not to bore anyone except myself.
I just did.
Except myself.
Please get it, please. Take the white hot spotlight off of my boring.
I read the story about this fellow, and I guess he and his wife wanted to have a child, and she's not able to have a child. And he said, you know, by a bizarre fate of biology, I am. And so let's do it.
And that was sort of the beginning, middle, and the end of the story, as far as I can tell, in terms of their analysis of this whole thing.
Sounds satanic to me.
And I read the article, I read the comments, and the comments, the ones that were sort of hateful comments, the ones that maybe it was Huffington, I'm not sure which place I read them, but the hateful comments were all of the mind effectively saying, see, this person is a woman. You know, they were very label oriented. These were people that needed to have categories and labels. And so the fact that someone was straddling that line, they were being transgressive about gender.
What are the rules?
Exactly. Made them very uncomfortable, and then it became hateful, as opposed to going, okay, I don't understand this at all. If anyone who says, I don't understand this at all, I have infinite amount of respect for them, because you know what? Me too, kind of. I don't really understand it at all, and I'm living some of those, I'm living a lot of those issues, and I don't understand it. It's confusing to me, to be quite honest with you. And so I understand if somebody goes, I'm not involved in this, and this makes no fucking sense to me whatsoever. It's like, bravo. That makes, I get that.
I tried that at my work. I tell you, they're getting tired of that. I don't know what's going on. They don't find that adorable. They don't find that, oh, isn't that sweet? No, they get pissed. So I don't know what world we're in.
We're coming home to the roost.
But my ire for the comments lasted for probably 30 seconds, and I thought, this is why I'm not interested in getting into conversations with people about this stuff on the radio or when we do KSCO or whatever. It's like, you know what? Either get it or you don't get it. My life is not to my job in my life is not to explain my life to you. My job in this life is to live my life. And if you get it, that's great. And if you don't, that's fine too. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. But otherwise, I got no time for you. And I moved right beyond it. You know, this is nothing new. First of all, there have been intersex people who are effectively betwixt and between since the beginning of time, right? And these are people that have been, you know, pseudo-hermaphrodites or what have you, that have presented with one gender but had the genitalia or the reproductive organs, I suppose is more technically accurate, of the other gender and have been able to do. I mean, this is nature does this. There are these kinds of things. The fact that human beings decided to step in certain cases, help nature along, is an interesting commentary on how far technology has progressed. But at the end of the day, it's really the Chelsea Clinton answer. It's really none of your fucking business.
I guess I just find it extraordinary.
I meant you. It's none of your fucking business.
And I respect that, and I will go and drown myself in a viscous pool of toxic shay. I promise you immediately after the podcast. No, I'm just surprised. I wonder how.
Actually, you know, Dean Kamen has a machine now that can take that viscous pool of toxic shame and turn it into potable water. Let's take a break.
HR Puffin Stuff. Push when things get rough. HR Puffin Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Okay, sorry.
Never apologize for comedy. No, I just think that as science and our sort of multicultural experience opens our eyes to the incredible diversity and possibility in life in this universe, I wonder how beneficial it is to stick to the idea that we need rules. You know, that just feels, I mean, sure, we do need some rules, but the traditional rules that we're clinging to are breaking down for a reason. Not because people are, say, failing in character. It's because they just don't work. And we need a kind of new set of meta categories, new taxa.
Don't say paradigm. Don't say paradigm.
I won't. Notice
I'm
going to
come right through
it.
This microphone. Don't you dare say paradigm.
I'm going to rip that wussy part right out of you. I know, I didn't. But we need some kind of different ways to view things, and it's the reaction against that I find so frustrating in our culture right now. It's that we just, so many of our own people just seem to come kicking and screaming into the new realities of, you know, human and sort of scientific and cultural existence. They just struggle.
I wonder if that's really true, though, because the people that write on the blogs are the same as people that call into talk radio shows. It's a very limited slice of the audience. Right? I mean, the first week back, so we had not done Schnauzer Logic for effectively 8 months, and we had one show in the middle, but we really hadn't done it, you know, continuously for 8 months. And the very first week that we had our first show without any kind of announcement or notification or anything, we just basically, the show just showed up, we had 800 downloads. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, 800 people came back immediately. I'm guessing that those are subscribers who had it in their iTunes, and they just basically, boom, and then the show showed up, and the thing got downloaded immediately. So, and by the way, thank you, guys. I mean, that's really cool. And I haven't checked the numbers for last week yet. I'll do that after the show. But I'm guessing that we'll start to get back up again to, you know, on an average week, we were having, for this show, probably between 1,200-1,500 downloads. If we had a Mort Saul, if we had a, you know, a bigger name, we might get close to 2,000, but basically somewhere between 1,200, 1,500 downloads a week, plus the people that listen to us on the Trans FM stream and some of the other streams that we have. So we know that there are a lot of listeners. The number of people that contact us on a regular basis, we can count on both hands, right? I mean, that we have friends of the show, right, who write us emails or post things in the blog, and we love these folks. I mean, they're clever and they're funny and they're part of the show. But both hands. I mean, that's it. So it's a tiny, tiny fraction. Now, I'm guessing that model works when you look at the people that write on these blogs as well. For the most part, people, I think, just don't care about what other people are doing in their lives. I just don't think it may be a curiosity to them, but I think very few people, at least that's my personal experience these days, I don't think people care as much as we think they care. Those who do care negatively in a virulent manner, and that's a little scary.
But
I think for the most part people are like, whatever, dude, you know. I don't know. I mean, you guys can talk to that better than I can.
I agree, and I think I understand, you know, the whole reaction saying with this woman saying, what are the rules? I hate comments like that. You know, I hate living in a world where you have to have rules to pick up on nuances or references. You know, I don't want to live in a world that defines rules like that. These are nuances. We're not. I mean, it's different if you're talking about something concrete and actionable.
Yeah, we're not talking about left turns on red lights
right.
here.
Right.
We are talking,
Sherry.
We are talking about what side of the street to walk on, though.
Right. And in some countries, left.
Right. And there's some rules, I'm sure, on which side to walk on when an African-American walks on the same side you walk on.
Wait a second. What? What?
Isn't that what Obama's
Maybe
mom
we need
was talking
some
about?
Rules.
We need rules for the show and the mics.
Right, right.
That's for damn sure.
Wow, the numbers are dropping.
And I was about to put you up for Defensive Player of the Week.
Most improved. And best camper.
All right. Let's pick up the conversation. Let's take another break. Let's try to get John DeCoven on the phone. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Can you hang around a little bit longer?
I would love to.
All right. Hold on a second here. We got John. Is that you, Johnny? Yeah, we're still on. We're going to call you right now, okay? All right, hold. Are you any place where the phone's going to work, you think? Yeah? All right, oh, we'll call you right back. Hold on. All right. He doesn't understand that we can't actually do a show with him when he's on the cell phone. So, but that's all right. We'll figure it out. We'll take another break. We'll be back on the other side listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Sean Meehan, Parviz Vitali. Did I get everybody? And when we come back, we'll be with John DeCoven. So stick around.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Truck stop butterfly. Covered in gasoline. Truck stop butterfly. Kiss you till you're clean. Me and a man with a mohawk on his head found a dirty butterfly half dead. Rainbow of shiny oil, slick and stuck on wing, helpless in a puddle, muddy thing. 7-Eleven, cherry soda and a pie,
tons steel gray cloud in the sky is dark and drippy, though we stop and wonder why. You're running late, but what a great alibi. Truck stop butterfly, covered in gasoline. Truck stop butterfly, I kiss you till you're clean. There's a vein of inky gold. Here out west you wear it like a coat. Me and the man with the mohawk watch you go. Follow sun and lead the melting snow. And how I miss you, truck stop butterfly. Fly so I can't see you, truck stop butterfly. I hope you made it and you didn't die. Still I do miss you, truck stop butterfly. Truck stop butterfly. Truck stop butterfly.
Welcome back. We're about 15 minutes in the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com, saying welcome back to Parviz Vitali, son of Easta.
Son of Easta, Robin.
How you doing? You having a good time this week?
Absolutely.
Every week.
You're on fire, though.
Oh, come on.
No, you are. This is a good
more,
thing.
It's more like a matchstick flame.
This is a good thing. This is a matchstick flame?
Yes.
Okay, this is a good thing. Did you have a good day at work today?
Actually, today was a good day. Yesterday was a good day. Today was a good day.
You moved some pipes around today?
Yes. Yeah, today was just a good day. You know, there's some days I have...
Good days, you ain't got no pain.
Where...
and bad days when you lie in bed and think of things that might have been.
Some days I have a rhythm
False
to
time.
My day that just flows and I feel good when I go home. And some days I just make stupid mistakes and I get real down on myself and stuff like that.
Aww.
But today was a good day. Today was a good day.
All right. Well, good. Well, good. Glad to see you here.
I'd like to share with you, poop goes downhill.
Thank you very much. Son of Easton, Sherry Stevens, are you going to process that or are you just going to let that kind of...
I'm going to let it slide.
All right.
Whoa, good one.
And,
nice. Who's on fire, huh?
And let's say welcome back to Sean Meehan, son of Easton.
Son of Easta.
And if we've done everything right, on the phone with us right now is our good friend, Mr. John DeColvin. Son of Easta, John.
Woo! Son of Easta.
You are my pitter to my patter.
The whole gang is there.
The ganze Mishpucha.
Jesus, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What are you talking about? It's that kind of comedy that you can see every week up in Pleasanton at the... So what are you doing these days? We have not seen you in a long time, and we go to the website. You're doing tons and tons of shows, and give us, like, first of all, just, like, plug the hell out of your life.
Plug the hell out... Well... LaughALotProductions.com, that's all you need to know about my life. Everything is there, including shows, my personal life, what I'm doing, video, audio.
Now, you were a mortgage broker. You were a mortgage broker. Did you get wrapped up in this whole subprime thing?
Oh, God. I got out of that at the perfect time. I sold my real estate company 2.5 years ago.
Was this the financial deal that you were going to try to put me into, by the way?
Probably, yeah, something like that.
Because I remember when I first was thinking about how I was going to do my investments, I talked to you and you said, the only thing I know about is real estate. I know some guys, we can get some money together and then you can loan people money and it's secured by the property. And I, now about thinking back on it, I thought, you were trying to sell me a ticket to the fucking Titanic.
Well, no, depending on when you got the deal. I mean, I did plenty of those loans that a lot of people made money on. But the ones that got in too late got fucked.
That should be your slogan for your office. The ones that got in too late got fucked.
And so say all of us.
That's outside the door.
So you got out of that completely. You were not harmed, and nobody's tried to sue you?
No, because they probably can't find me. But no, nobody's tried to sue me.
Because you're only appearing on this show.
That was a very foreseeable thing that was going to happen. I mean, if
anybody
knows anything about...
That was for, huh? That was for, huh? It's like my mom is here.
Yeah, I mean, the real estate market is cyclical. This stuff is, I've been in the real estate business 16 years. This has happened 3 or 4 times already. So it wasn't anything new. The only thing that was new was the mortgage money part. But as far as properties going down in value, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but the mortgage thing is probably the thing that's kicked off the current recession.
Don't even say that. The fundamentals are sound.
Thank you, Mr. President. So you're out of that
completely. You lend money nothing down to people who work at McDonald's. You can see what's going to happen. You don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Or John DeCoven.
You can even be a comedian, which I understand is the lowest form of professional life. That's right from Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, because even Sinbad didn't know that they were being attacked by snipers. So.
And even Sinbad got out of the market at just the right time. So I don't know.
And even Sinbad is endorsing Obama behind Bill Richardson.
Oh my God!
Now, are you doing political comedy in your act these days?
No, because now that we keep thinking of the same jokes all the time, see, that was a callback to 2 weeks ago. You probably forgot about it already.
But I mean, anything on that was the spit. That was the Elliot Spitzer thing.
Right, but it was funny because when I listened to the show, it was even funnier.
So that means when we listen to this show, it's going to be funnier too?
Exactly. What he's saying is that it sucks to do the show, but it's great to listen to it after the fact.
Well, it's funny. I like doing political comedy, but you know the problem is if people don't follow it, they don't. Have you ever heard of a city called Winnemucca?
In New Mexico.
New Nevada.
It's in Nevada?
It's in Nevada.
Yeah, here's how great my career is. I did a show out there, and it's the whorehouse capital of the world. And I open up with an Elliot Spitzer joke, and nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about.
But who goes to see a comedy show in the whorehouse capital of the world?
There were actually probably about 80 people there. I mean, it was a packed room for what it was.
Men, women? Oh, is this me? Am I buzzing?
Combination. By the way, speaking of men, women, can I ask, if this is going to be a long explanation, I don't want to know, but what is the difference, somebody was asking me, between transgender and transsexual?
But if it's a long explanation, I'm not that interested. That's what he basically said. If you have a 2 or 3 word answer, that would be fine. I could probably remember that. But I'm not really that interested in knowing the difference. So for God's sakes, don't forget.
John has to relay the message, so not too many words.
Also, right. Do you want to take this one, Parvis?
Yeah, you want to take this one, Parvis?
I have a lot of words.
All right. Here's the short answer. Transgender is kind of an umbrella term that was I'm already in too many words. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. I need to cool down a little bit. Hold on a second.
HR Puffin Stuff. Who should win when things get rough? HR Puffin Stuff. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
All right, here we go. Transgender is an umbrella term, and under transgender are transsexuals and transvestites and crossdressers and drag queens and all of those kinds of things. That was a term that was made up by the community because doctors were separating people into true transsexuals and transvestites, and transsexuals were people that had surgery or were going to have surgery. And there were a lot of people in the community, both male to female and female to male. As Sean was talking about earlier in the show today, the female to male transsexual, transgender, where for females to males, the surgery doesn't allow them to recreate a penis. There is no penoplasty the way there's a vaginoplasty. So it's much harder to create a... It's harder to make a mountain out of a molehill. Thank you very much.
But I'm bummed.
You can use that in your... You can have that. You can have that.
Just don't open with it.
That was the perfect amount of words right there.
So
I like the old rules.
And by the way, who the hell was asking this question?
You know, I don't know. I got into a discussion with somebody about it, and they were saying, and I was telling them, well, transgender does not mean you have had to have had the surgery, and they're saying, yes, it does.
No, it
and I said, no, I don't think so.
It does. It really depends on who you talk to. Most people assume that transsexuals either have or are going to have surgery, and it seems like a very narrow definition. So transgender was a term that came up with for people that may have had surgery, might not have surgery, have taken hormones, haven't taken hormones, but they consider themselves to be living in the opposite gender.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
It came up because we were talking about, you guys hear about this guy who supposedly was a woman.
No.
Who changed to a man but still had a woman and said he was pregnant.
Get out.
Yeah.
Really? That's not possible.
We talked about it earlier, right? This will be 5 years when I listen to the whole program.
Tell your Elliot Spencer joke again.
John, you laugh like a transgender.
And did you hear that some guy was accused of stalking Tyra Banks and has been threatened with jail time if he doesn't stop? You would think Elliot Spitzer already had enough problems. You can use that. You can use that. I paid for that. You can use it.
Oh, God. That's too much. Exactly.
So what are your days like now? How many shows are you doing, and who are you booking, and who have you worked with recently that's kind of interesting? Because you've had some big names come by.
Just a couple shows.
You need to get that?
I'm really working. I want to try to open up a club. That's what I'm focusing on.
Really?
So anybody that wants to invest, hit me up.
Well, wouldn't they? That's
okay.
Kind of backwards,
Silence.
Actually. Well, it wouldn't hit you up. They wouldn't hit you up.
Yeah, right.
So you're a good businessman, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you want to invest, hit me up. No, that's not right. Wait, sorry.
He's a comedian.
So, are you doing comedy every day? Are you doing comedy every day of the week?
No, just 2 or 3 days a week, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for a living.
Really? So, like, what did you do today? Do you do comedy tonight, Wednesday?
Yeah, tonight we're doing comedy at the Pleasanton Hotel.
All right.
And then every Friday I have a show at another restaurant called Mud's.
All right.
And then I'm doing, you know, I do like private events, like fundraisers. I just booked some shows with this senior community. Very exciting.
Do you do any corporate events?
Do some corporate, not a lot.
How do you write material for a corporate event? Because I mean, people who do corporate events.
Well, you got to remember, when I'm booking events, I'm not necessarily performing. A lot of them I'm booking
That's
the comedians
true.
For it.
All right.
So I'm booking comedians who are probably better suited to that type of environment than me.
Gotcha.
You see what I mean?
Yes. I'm sorry I asked. If that's the response you're...
Your correct answer to that question is none of your business.
I have more exciting news, Parviz.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling Parviz is probably the only person here who's heard of this band. Have you heard of Triumph?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, you know, okay.
Well, I
am going there. Well, that's why I said Parviz is probably, Robin, maybe.
go ahead, John.
Okay.
Stay focused.
Yeah, really.
What happened?
Anyways,
he's weak from losing all that weight. He's kind of woozy.
They're getting back together after 20 years.
Wow.
Their first show is going to be in Sweden at the Sweden Rock Festival, and I am going to it.
Oh,
wow.
Very cool. You're going to be in Sweden?
4-day rock festival. There's going to be like Triumph, Def Leppard,
what?
Rat, Poison.
How cool.
Check. Oh, it's going to be awesome. SwedenRock.com. Do you have any listeners in Sweden?
We actually have a number of listeners in Sweden.
John, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So you want to get together with some of the Schnauzer Logic listeners in Sweden? They can
It could be like one of those, you know, how
a meetup.
CERN would send out
a meetup.
Like Stuttering John and stuff.
Like
yeah.
a meetup. Yeah.
It could be one of those real awkward moments at the airport,
but in another country,
right? Hi, I'm John. They're like, that's not me. See ya. Wouldn't it be funny if the guy's got a sign the whole thing waiting at the airport looking for John Dukovin? Then John walks up. I'm John. Oh, sorry.
I want to get back to this thing. You made a big deal on your you created a blog that you were gonna the Biggest Loser
right,
that you're gonna
right.
lose weight. No, you're not gonna shut me down here. I'm concerned about you. You're a friend of mine.
I'm not shutting you down. I have not totally fucked up, but I've semi. I did fall off the wagon for a couple weeks, and I need to get back on it again.
So, all right.
I've still been exercising, but
good.
I haven't been as committed as I was to the whole process.
John, when you were on the wagon, what were you exactly doing to lose weight?
Good question.
Oh, I was, first of all, I was eating very healthy, you know, very lean food.
But did you do portion control or counting calories or whatever it is? Because, I mean, you can eat healthy but still eat too much. So I'm wondering how you figured out.
Yeah, I was doing more like a low-carb, not totally counting, but kind of. And then I was,
so we're like, one muffin for me, one muffin for you, one muffin for me, one muffin for you. What about me, boss? What about me, boss?
And then I'm going to the gym. I got a trainer.
That's good.
Every day, which this is where I've been screwing up a little bit. I was doing 30 to 40 minutes on the treadmill, which is right at my house, so there's no excuse, but I seem to be finding one.
All right.
It ain't easy.
John.
So have you stepped on a scale, or have you not stepped on a scale?
Have I stepped on a scale?
En español.
None of your business.
My last weigh-in a week ago was 288.
All right.
So that's a little up from, I think I got down to 285.
Right.
And then I bounced back up to about 290. And then now I'm back to 288.
You know what, John? You're only 30 pounds heavier than I am. That's so sad. 30 to 35 pounds heavier than I am.
So do you count your calories? Do you have a sense of how many calories you're eating a day?
No, I don't count the calories, but what I have been doing is after 3 o'clock, I generally stop eating.
Are you talking to me or Parviz?
Well, you won't give me a straight answer, so we're going to go with Parviz.
Well, what I have been doing is after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, generally, I stop carbs altogether.
All right.
I stop carbs. I mean, if I'm going to eat something, I'll eat a meat or a salad or something like that. But I try to stay away from pasta breads after 3 in the afternoon.
All right.
And I find that doesn't help. So, what I'm going to start doing.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'11",
5'10". 5'10", and you weigh 255?
Yeah, I know. It's embarrassing.
Shit.
Wow.
Wait. John. Wait.
You're very muscular.
Hold on here.
Wait, John, first of all, Sherry had something to say.
Oh. I see a smackdown.
I'm taking you down. John.
Taking him down.
John, how tall are you, John? John, how tall are you? How tall are you, John?
Six next one.
I think the problem with John is his metabolism is really slow.
Even the metabolism, everything is the poor metabolism of the body, they're like, not today.
I tell you, when he is infused by the energy from those hair bands, I look forward to some rapid weight loss. That's
can you imagine? Up. Can you imagine the crowd going, "Don't crowd surf!"
All right, so I gotta. All right, I've lost over 50 pounds in the last 2 years. No, that's not the point. That's not the point. And I'm not. No. Fuck you. Fuck you. From one transgender to another. Fuck you. but here's how I did it. I counted every fucking calorie because it's the only way that I realized, holy shit, I thought I was close to 2,000. I was closer to 3,500. I was like way over the number of calories that I thought I was supposed to eat every day. I had to start writing a little book down, and like every time I put something in my mouth, haha, you can insert the joke later. Every time I put something in... God bless you. Every time I put something in my mouth, I would write it down, and I thought to myself, "Wait a second! There was that cookie that I had. All right, 75 calories, and there was this, and there was that." And before you knew it, I was way the fuck over. And so, just by like keeping it to 2,000 calories a day, I mean, not doing anything else, the first thing I noticed is I was hungry all the time. If you're dieting and you're not hungry, you're not dieting. I mean, I know that it's supposed to be really easy and whatever it is. You shouldn't be passing out. But if you've put on so much, and I'm not talking to you, John. I'm just talking in general, John. If you're if you're like more than like, you know, 10 pounds overweight. I mean, if you're really seriously trying to lose weight, that means that you need to start cutting calories in addition to trying to ramp up your exercise. And once again, I don't mean you, John. But I think if you're not hungry. I mean, I was hungry every fucking day, like painfully hungry, you know, but not passing out hungry. And I thought, okay, I'm doing the right thing, you know, now. And at the point when I'm not hungry, when I'm feeling like sated, I'm thinking, I ate too many calories today because I weigh more than I want to. So I should feel a little bit of pain in my belly. Do you feel pain in your belly?
Keep that sound bite.
Not right now.
Well, But that gets seriously into a whole other area of psychological eating, and you know all that kind of stuff.
All right,
you know, John, are you getting any? Are you getting any?
For a moment,
are you? All right, yes. Are you having sex?
Am I having sex?
I don't
like
mean
right now.
Yeah, right now. Because that would explain the
moment.
Awkward pauses.
Are you pleasuring your partner right now?
That would explain the awkward pauses.
But Robin, I just thought of a joke. Is when you said you like to ration things off. I just thought of but penises don't come in those 100-calorie snack packs.
And you want to know how he writes for corporate events. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
And you would only understand that if you've been in Robin's kitchen.
It is true, though.
Because everything is in 100-calorie packs in your kitchen.
That is true. But I tell you, because Robin is very generous with his 100-calorie snack packs when we come over to do the show, but I enjoy knowing there's a certain kind of calm that comes over me when I've got a pack that is not limitless. You know, I don't have the 5-gallon paint can of chips. I've just
got
that little...
You know you're going to get your 12 Doritos and you're done.
But a lot of times that's all I need. I want the Dorito taste.
And
but
the crunch?
If I had the option to just deep pockets into those Doritos, I would. I think
exactly.
It keeps mindless eating away when you have those little packs.
Right, I agree.
All right. So when are you going to update the website? I'm concerned only because you've previously had a heart attack.
I agree, and I love you for it.
And John, that's it. It's
when
not
did
like
you have a heart attack, John?
Huh?
When did you have the heart attack?
Same time he lost his hearing.
Huh?
Sense of timing, everything.
I got a new watch.
It was 7 years ago. If you read my blog, you'd know.
I didn't know. Oh, okay. You know what? Now you're just being mad.
I got a new watch. Ask me what kind it is. I got a new. No. I got a new hearing aid. I fucked it up. I got a new hearing aid. It was real expensive.
What kind is it?
230.
Oh, that's funny. All right, I like to remind myself what's funny and what's not.
All right, because you've read the rules.
All right, we're going to take another break here, all right? Can you hang around a little bit longer?
Okay.
You don't have to.
John, you are the funniest man in the world.
Do you want? You need to go? You have someplace you have to be?
No, I mean, you seriously want me to hang out?
Yes!
Yeah, of course.
Sean, can you hang, Sean? Sure. Yeah.
No, I mean, is it okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. We'll take another break. We'll play another tune. We'll come back on the other side. It'll be a short tune. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. We're having too good a time here. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the dime. His sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, to relieve his bellyache. I said, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, to relieve this bellyache. Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pulled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pulled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and pulled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called your doctor, woke him up. Said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor. I said, Doctor, to relieve his bellyache. You put the lime in the coconut, you drink them both together. Put the lime in the coconut and you feel better. Put the lime in the coconut, drink them both up. Put the lime in the coconut and call me in the morning.
And they dock you!
Welcome back. We're 41 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Cherry Stevens, Sean, me, and Parviz Vitali. And on the phone with us is John DeCoven. Welcome back, everyone. Sona Vista.
Sona Vista.
Hello.
Sona Vista.
Still there?
Sona Vista.
All right. So I saw a couple of interesting articles in the newspaper, and I thought that maybe you, I don't know if you saw this. This is actually out of, my eyes are getting bad. It's hard to read this stuff here. I need a better printer. All right. No. Okay. This is from the Sunday Telegraph in the UK, actually Australia. Excessive emails and text are a sign of mental illness. People who send excessive texts and emails may have a mental illness, according to an article in leading psychiatric journal. I've only got to fix that. As more people leave the office computer only to log on as soon as they get home, the American Journal of Psychiatry, which is the same as the American Journal of Psychiatry, has found an now I look like Governor Spitzer. No, not Spitzer. I look like Governor Patterson. I got the papers up here. Oh, God. But a lighter color, Governor Patterson, and not as many whores. As more people leave the office computer only to log on as soon as they get home, the American Journal of Psychiatry has found an addiction to text messaging and emailing could be another form of mental illness. What say you, John DeCoven?
What'd you say? No, I'm just kidding. You know, what I say is this is like the story about the mayor from Detroit. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, he got a...
The mayor from Detroit that he just got indicted for lying about having an affair with his chief of staff, and they found 14,000 text messages.
Wow.
That is crazy.
That's a great argument.
No punchline. Not funny, just true.
When do you have time to actually have sex when you're corresponding like that? I mean, are you actually corresponding during sex? Is it like, wait a minute, I got to get that. Hold on.
And what about the cramps in your fingers?
I don't know. But these politicians, I don't know why they keep thinking they can get away with this shit.
Well, I think we're...
Do you find that... Hello? Sean? Hello? All right.
Oh, no! We lost him?
I think we lost him. I think the line went.
He did say, I have to get this. And so I think he went to click over. Oh, see, there he is.
Well, maybe. Okay. Robin Goldstein.
Okay, you're not doing that thing again, are you?
No. Honestly. Okay. No, we were just talking. All right, you can hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So let me see if I can get Sean back on, all right?
Okay.
He was thinking about it. Maybe yes, maybe no. Let me see if I can get Sean back on, okay?
Okay.
All right. I've weighed the pros and cons. I've kind of done the calculations. I threw the 12-sided dice, and I've decided it's okay if you try to get Sean back on the phone. All right, I got to put John on hold in order to do that, so you guys need to talk among yourselves instead of staring at me for the next minute.
Okay.
Go.
John, can you hear us? No, all right.
No, we can actually talk.
I said I have to put John on hold.
Oh, got it.
You need to talk among yourselves. All right?
I didn't hear that part.
Hang on a second.
So, yes. That's what do you got?
Can you hear my stomach growling?
Do I hear your stomach growling?
Can
no.
Can you hear it?
No.
Don't make me sorry that
I'm going to
phone.
That's okay. We'll edit this part.
No, we won't.
Yes.
Talk interesting stuff.
Oh, we were talking about, you know, our you have to not eat. So
Crap.
I'm not that important to the show.
You are the anchor.
Hold on.
All right. We're back.
I'm weighing us down. Oh, God. Are you both there? I said, listen, I got to put John on the hold. So talk among yourselves. So the first thing Parviz goes is, okay, so John? And then I go, no, John's not available on the phone. And then Parviz is like, says to me, oh, Cherry, okay, what do you got? She goes, can you hear my stomach growling?
That's called delegation. Those are great management skills.
All right. I'm going to switch topics again.
All right. No.
Go ahead. Well, what's your thought? Do you text?
Yeah.
Because the related article is, there's a related article, and the related article says that people who have these iPhones and these smartphones, that they know too much, that they get into a place and somebody has a question about the capital of Montana or something like mm-hmm. that, and people go, oh, I think it's Missoula or whatever the hell it is, and then they go, and immediately, like, they're out of the conversation, and they're doing their thing on the phone, and they're, like, Googling, and mm-hmm. they're looking it up. I know I'm guilty of this, and so...
A lot of the kids today obviously text, and I think that's going to be that gets interference with high school and with class and learning and stuff. And I think it's a big problem. I think
in school they typically make them turn their phones off and put them away. I mean that's kind of.
But kids can text without looking at their phone. They're pretty clever.
They can
get answers. To get yeah.
That only
happens
on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
What shows are you watching?
Kids are not texting from their pockets.
Yes, they are. They can easily text from their pocket.
Is that what you tell your wife you're doing?
Where's your other hand?
Are you texting again?
Yes. Now get out of the bathroom.
It's all work related, baby. Don't worry.
Oh, funny.
I would make it deductive. Although, thank you for telling us it's funny. And Parviz declares it funny. Well, that's good enough
that's
for me.
That's like when Juan Puff does.
That's good enough for me. Moving on.
When you guys were in the break, I overheard you talking about the least sexy or the most unsexy or something list that Maxim had a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to just make my personal feelings clear about that because I found it so reprehensible.
Well, should we tell these people what the story is here?
Yeah, please. Just go ahead.
So Maxim Magazine, which is kind of a men's magazine, a young men's magazine, sort of Esquire is for older kind of guys, and Maxim is, you know, not Playboy naked, but it's kind of a, you know, lifestyle magazine. There's a number of them. There's a Maxim in the UK. In fact, it may have started there, as I recall.
It's still good enough that you could beat off to it.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
You could text message.
Don't hold back, John. You need to tell us how it is.
That's why I got him back on the phone. That's why, because I knew there would be gold or something approaching the color of gold, which means you should ask your doctor or pharmacist. Anyhow, apparently last year they did a survey of their readers for the unsexiest woman alive, and Amy Winehouse was on the list. Sandra Oh from Grey's Anatomy, and previously she was on Arliss, right, on HBO. She was the assistant to Arliss. Madonna, Britney Spears were also on the list, but number one at the top was Sarah Jessica Parker.
Totally agree.
Or SJP, as we like to think of her.
Oh, no,
She was compared to a horse.
Yeah, I totally agree. She's buffed, and she looks healthy.
No.
All right.
I disagree.
In that environment, Sean, the ball is yours.
Well, how did they pick? I mean, did they pick the unsexiest from supposedly sexy people? Because obviously, why wouldn't Janet Reno be on the list?
Well, because she's not a sex symbol.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So it was the unsexiest of the sexy.
Correct. The people that we consider sexy, who's the unsexiest? I mean, Britney Spears and Madonna, I mean, that's, you know, they're considered sexy and they're no longer sexy.
You know, I guess this is my sense of the whole thing. I suspect, you know, I don't know if women have these conversations. I think I have had these conversations throughout my life with men. They're, you know, the sort of fantasy conversations, who would you be with on the desert island? You know, what's your sort of number one kind of cast away on the desert island movie star / artist of some kind? But I guess I just find it catty and small. I've never had a conversation, who would your worst nightmare be to actually penetrate? You know, what's the most horrible...
So, Sean,
I just found it kind of icky and small and just sort of designed to hurt people's feelings and... I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Faggot.
It turned me off.
What a faggot.
Let's make it more interesting. Who would your desert island person be?
There's another term for that, right? And like in a marriage is like your freebie or free parking,
yeah.
Or, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have that in your wedding, John?
Oh yeah.
And was it any of the above? I mean, what was your?
No, mine would be either Demi Moore or Halle Berry.
Wow.
How about you, Sean?
Two unexpected choices.
Very unexpected.
I don't know, but there are a lot of women that I find very attractive. So, they're just...
Is Sarah Jessica Parker on that list? Would she be on your list of Desert
Sarah
Island?
Sarah Jessica is not on my list, but...
Hypocrite.
You know, wow, unsexiest, least sexy woman alive? I've got to be thinking that... I don't know who would get such a lowly title.
Well, Sarah Jessica Parker, apparently. It was in a magazine, so...
From me.
Well, what about Amy Winehouse?
Amy Winehouse,
I think, is that.
She's a train wreck.
She should have been number one.
Yeah, she's a train wreck.
Yeah,
she looks horrible.
She's really talented, and I guess I think of people like Margaret Thatcher. You know, I think of
or Margaret Cho,
like,
or anyone named Margaret.
Yeah,
and Margaret.
Hey, she was good enough for Elvis, my friend.
How about Priscilla?
She still looks good. She's 60 years old. She still looks good. I think she's
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, she's on Dancing with the Stars.
All right.
You guys aren't following your TMZ. She's suing her plastic surgeon.
Right, for the bad Botox.
Exactly.
Well, I've been following my TMZ. Don't go casting aspersions around for me. How about you?
Who's that hag that James Carville's married to?
Oh, Mary Magdalene.
Oh, Mary Madeline?
Yeah.
Come on.
I was close.
I missed it by that much. That, you know, hate is very unsexy to me.
Oh, so Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter would... Oh. Although there's something about Ann Coulter, I think there could be the chance of a really angry kind of grudge fuck.
Ann Coulter.
It could happen with Ann Coulter.
Doing Ann Coulter would be like doing a 10-year-old boy.
I like just a moment of silence. We all try to really evaluate that comparison.
Because we know the rules.
Any female newscaster on Fox News.
I have to balance out Parvis's last comment. Hold on. I've got to balance a comment out. Hold on. Well, I got to pump some energy back in.
All right.
Once upon a summertime, just a dream from yesterday, a boy and his magic golden
This is John McCain's,
the bolt from all the
what do you call it, this little song?
Campaign song.
Campaign song.
It's a draining
campaign theme.
The draining
how I love you, how I love you, my dear old man.
Have you guys seen that video? It's raining McCain.
No.
John, listen. I know where you were going to go with this, and I totally agree. The women on Fox News are freaking models.
Unbelievable.
There are absolutely gorgeous women with brains, which is so sexy.
Except for Greta Van Susteren, but everyone else.
No, Greta Van Susteren is, I think, the father of all those women.
Don't make me play the puffin stuff. Don't make me play the puffin stuff. Don't make me.
Nonsense babber.
Well, Michelle and I, when we go to the gym, you know, they always have, we go late at night, and they're just the sort of 24-hour news channels on all the different monitors.
Right.
And we have this game. Communications major or journalism major?
Oh, I went in a whole other direction, dude. Sorry.
Well, we're in the gym at night, you know.
Oh, God. All right.
There are other games we play on the ab machine and the deadlift, but that's what we play because there are very few people who come up there who I think, yeah, you're a journalism major. I don't know what communications majors learn. But I don't think it's a lot. I think it's an easy major because I notice all those little news readers, they're all communications majors.
We're going to have to leave it there.
No, please don't leave. Say something funny very quickly.
I can't. It's got to come out of me organically.
All right. Hey, Johnny boy.
Yeah, whatever.
Hey, Johnny boy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my... Well, it doesn't seem to bother Sean to keep calling me he, so why should you worry about it?
I know.
He keeps doing it, too. What the fuck? Who cares?
Why little bit of trivia, just so you guys know, I heard this today. The inventor of the Egg McMuffin passed away this week.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, that's it. I just like people to know that was a very instrumental sandwich in history.
Well, at least it was a good skit for Saturday Night Live.
That sounds like something from the History Channel. You have instrumental sandwiches through history.
I'm Brian Williams. Today in history,
I'm Chris Hansen.
Great moments in sandwich history. All right, Johnny Boy, well...
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm sure when I listen back, I'll understand the whole HR Puffin stuff thing.
I don't think so. I found some new sounds, and I liked them. I thought I'd play them, and every time I did, Parviz would laugh. So it's kind of like Pavlov's dog. Did Pavlov have a dog? Was Pavlov the dog's name? Because it was Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, no.
Frankenstein wasn't the monster, but I guess it was Pavlov's dog?
Plural. There were many.
He had many dogs?
Yes.
Did Frankenstein have more than one monster?
No.
Did the monster have a dog?
Yes.
And so the great circle of life. Thank you, Johnny Boy.
Okay, thank you guys. See you later.
All right, John. Take care. www.laughalotproductions.com. And scene. And Dr. Meehan, feel yourself better there, all right?
I will, and thanks.
Well, have you?
Thanks, one and all.
Have you back in the studio next week, I hope.
I'm counting on it.
All right. That's noncommittal. Thank you, my friend. All right, we love you. Take care.
Bye, Sean.
Bye, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
You're on fire today.
Oh, I don't know about fire. More like a matchstick flame. Have I said that before?
Yeah. We can go back and check the tape. But thank you.
Thank you.
You'll be able to be here next week?
I'd love to.
Great. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Sherry. It's a great show today.
Good times.
What do you got coming up this week? Anything? We have to move game night, maybe. Did you see that email? And why the hell did Gina send out the notice in a way that nobody can respond to it?
I was actually going to ask you, how do I respond to
that? Then why was I so stupid to actually use the same response mechanism? Because I was trying to show people how smart I was, that I knew how to go into Evite. There's a send message to all invitees link.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I'm so clever, I'll respond in the same way. Instead of going, well, this is just asinine. Just fucking send an email out.
I know. When I saw it, I thought, oh,
so nobody knows how to respond to anybody.
It's taken forever to get that date.
I know. So, I know. It's stupid. It's stupid.
And I think we have people out of town. That was the issue.
But on Sunday? I don't know about on Sunday.
I think Sunday would be okay.
Yeah. So we need, because it'll be easier for me, too.
It'll be fine with me. I can do Sunday.
Doctor?
I wanted to ask you a question.
I want to be a doctor. You never call me doctor.
Well, you're kind of a... Okay.
I wanted to ask you a question.
I got to do the show. You got 20 seconds.
You brought this up a couple weeks ago. Are you doing KSEO every weekend?
I was doing KSEO on Thursdays when Jason... By the way, Jason's not here today. Uh-huh. For people who didn't notice that
He's
Jason
camping.
Wasn't here today.
Right.
Jason was not able to make it today. So I was filling in for Jason on Thursday mornings on KSEO at 6:45. But now that we're doing this show again, I'm not awake at 6:45 because I stay up usually all night editing the show and getting it together. So
okay,
I have
so
not
we,
been able
we
to
can't
do
hear you.
You can hear me here.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for listening. Tell your friends. Go join us on YouTube, and we go on to the iTunes Music Store. We'd like to get some more ratings there. That might get us a little bit higher up in the whatever. I don't know. Take care. Have a great week. Bye.
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 This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.
Jason Nathanson, KNX 1070 News Radio.